Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And welcome to part three of a series we're doing where we're talking about...
An exhaustive look.
Yes, yeah. I know Mark watching some of these matches. He got exhausted. We're looking at WCW in 1996. This is part three. We finished up part two with the end of Bash at the Beach. Hulk Hogan has made the most dramatic heel turn in history up to that point. And now
since we're, then, probably.
Right, say. Right. So we're moving forward from that. It's the day after Bash at the Beach. WCW is filming Nitro from MGM Studios. And all the talk, every segment, every match, they're talking about the NWO.
Right.
Now, to my recollection, when I was watching last night, Hogan was not on this Nitro.
He was not.
And Mean Gene talked to Hall and Nash as they were sitting on the trunk of a limo.
Uh-huh.
And they made the big deal about, oh, Hogan's filming a movie,
mm-hmm.
which will play into, you know, his new...
The new persona.
Persona. So on July the 8th, this is what's... happening. And again, you don't really know the full effect of what the NWO is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at this Nitro, it's business as usual. Guys just wrestling like they normally would. One of the things that I picked up, we won't get into all the, I mean, there's a great match, Eddie Guerrero and Psicosa, Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko wrestle. But the Horsemen do a promo because Flair has a match and then Benoit has a match and Double A has a match. And they're doing a promo and Arn says, you know, everybody always knew what they got with me, that I they knew I was a bad guy. I wasn't the guy telling everybody to say their prayers and eat their vitamins and right. train hard. He said, so for that guy to do what he did, he either said it makes me want to puke or it makes my stomach turn or something like that. But it's just a great.
It was a good promo.
Great Arnett where he's just contrasting this guy, just kind of making the point that you people have been moving me all this time. You knew what you were getting.
Right.
That guy.
He's been lying to you.
He lied to you.
And
he,
Bobby Heenan was so great in that he always would side with the bad guys.
Right.
But he still hated Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, this is what I've been telling everybody for years. They're like, it was this moment for Bobby Heenan to say, I told you so.
Yeah.
I have been telling y'all what kind of person he was. This is why I've hated him.
Yeah.
This is why I backed all these guys against him. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I agree. What's unique about this time is the NWO are bad guys, but they are loved.
Yeah, are they really the bad guys?
Right.
That became kind of an issue.
Yeah.
Are you heels or are you baby faces? And that?
Yeah.
You could be a cool heel.
So I really didn't think, I don't know. I think for a Nitro, the day after this dramatic thing, I think they could have done more.
Pretty anticlimactic because I watched it. Yeah, I watched it.
It was very anticlimactic.
Yeah, I was really expecting. I thought that the night after, to be honest with you, was the night that you're going to talk about next week. I think it's next week when Hall and Nash show up and they're having the match and Jimmy Hart says, they're here. I believe that's the
case. When they're in the limo.
Yeah. And they beat everybody up with baseball bats.
I don't know. So the next week, July 15th, there's still filming in MGM Studios, which just looks weird because it's outdoors.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you said it on the 95 show. Let's set up a ring because there's already 10,000 people here.
Right.
You know, two matches I want to point out quickly. Harlem Heat are tag champions and they're facing the new team of Rough and Ready, Dick Slater and Mike Enos.
Yeah.
But then here's Medusa. And she's wrestling, yeah, good luck with this, Malia Hosaka.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Medusa, who came into such fanfare, underutilized. But they really did. They didn't have a women's division before she got there.
Is it underutilizing her for her to have a match on Nitro? I mean,
I'm saying the big picture. I'm saying, man, we've brought you in. You've made a big splash. By the way, you're only going to be on TV 6 times next year. That's what I mean by under.
Yeah,
what could they have done? I don't know what they could have done.
You're not talking about an era when you had a Divas match between a semi-main event and the main event.
This is true.
You're talking about the women's title being defended.
Oh, they don't have a women's title right now. They have a tournament for that later.
But being put out there as a legitimate athletic competition, not a TNA show.
Yeah.
Which is what they've done for years in WWE. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was this golden era of female wrestling at the time.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't going to draw big numbers. So, do you need
So, I don't know why they brought her in. I mean, I guess it was for that shock value.
Yeah, they were bringing anybody in. They were bringing in the guys that sold popcorn at WWE events.
Like, you work for WWE?
You work for WWE? Come on over.
You modeled the foam fingers?
Do you know who the best... You might think that it's the best WWF employee that they hired.
Yeah.
Who would you think it was, if you had to guess? And then I'll tell you who I think it was. Just throw some names out there. We don't want a whole lot of
Mean that. Gene, I don't know.
J.J. Dillon. Because he's the guy that was in charge of drawing up all the WWF contracts, and he knew how much everybody was making.
Oh,
so you bring him over there. I'm not saying that J.J. Dillon did anything illegal.
No,
there's nothing wrong with it this, but he obviously had a working knowledge of sort of the contracts that these guys might have had.
And how much money they were probably making
and how they could offer them more without offering them too much more.
I guess I forgot J.J. was with WWF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the director of talent relations before Jim Ross was.
Really? Yeah,
Jim Ross took the job from him when he left to go back to WCW.
Really? That's very interesting. Well, the stellar main event from this edition of Nitro was Big Bubba Rogers beats Lex Luger by DQ, and this may have been when... I know there's a Nitro where Teddy Long comes to the ring and grabs Randy Savage. And Randy Savage leaves, and there's a limo back there, and there's nobody in it. And they get the spray paint, and it's raining. So they're trying to spray paint WCW all over the limo.
And it won't stick.
It won't stick.
That must be this episode. And then the next episode is...
I think that's late, because that's after Hogan has spray painted the belt. So that's kind of how that gimmick... I think so.
No, it's not. That's after... I don't think so, Heath.
Well, you might, you know.
I didn't write dates now. I thought you were going to get those.
I got most of them. Now, the next week is big because it is a big NWO deal. July 22nd. This is the infamous, I think this is the they're here because this is when they throw Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
This is the 22nd, so it's the week after.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. You don't want to hear... about the eight-man.
Nothing.
Listen, I need to get this off my chest because this is so absurd. The eight-man tag team match of Alex Wright, Jim Powers, Joe Gomez, and the Renegade defeating Hugh Morris, Kevin Sullivan, the Barbarian, and a debuting Buddy Lee Parker as the Leprechaun. His one and only appearance. I don't even think he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there, that when you look back... When we look back on this era of wrestling, this is the era of realism.
Right.
That there was a man on the same night that the NWO is doing this classic 80s jumping somebody in the back,
mm-hmm.
that a guy dressed up as a leprechaun
runs around the arena.
Is in the ring. This also, you know, featured a good match with Eddie Guerrero and Psychosis. Lex Luger, Randy Savage, and Sting wrestle AA, Chris Benoit, and Steve McMichael. And I'm not, I don't know when in the show they jump Mysterio. Huh? At the end.
It's at the end of the show.
Because here, okay, so, all right. Yes. Here's, so today, Raw starts out every week with a 15 to 20 minute in-ring talking segment.
Yes, sir. And it's wonderful. they knock it out of the park every time.
What I've noticed going back and looking at all these Nitros, they all finish with, they begin with a match.
Yeah.
But they end with this in-ring talking segment.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times, maybe there's some physical action, but most of the time it is just talking, where that's where they're setting up.
Well, they got into toward their, I don't know about this time, but I mean, it wasn't long. It was always.
This was a, yeah, this breaks out. Right.
Stuff like that.
Right. But even before this, pre NWO, they were ending Nitro with.
Yeah. Somebody talking.
Somebody talking.
And Raw was like that for a while. It would end with somebody talking.
Yeah. So the next week, we see another.
No.
Oh, you want to stay
yeah,
on?
Yeah, we're not done. But this is
sorry.
Huge.
Sorry.
This is a huge moment in this entire angle.
Okay.
The beatdown backstage.
Yeah.
When they just come in and destroy these guys with baseball bats.
Oh.
You just want to glaze?
No, no. I mean
yeah. You don't feel
I just have PTSD from Rey Mysterio denting the side of that trailer.
They wanted to throw him through the window, but they were afraid if they did that, obviously it would hurt him.
Yeah.
But originally, they kind of wanted him to try to break the window with him, but they got to, everybody was like, nah.
Because
if he goes
up,
through wrong and he might kill him.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, he might kill him. But the people at Disney thought this was a real fight going on backstage.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to just.
Cody Rhodes thought it was a real fight. Yeah. Little young Cody Rhodes was like, what are they doing, Dad?
But yeah, when you see those fire trucks and stuff, allegedly, now people will spin the his. I don't know if you know this about the wrestling business. They'll spin it around. But most of the guys who were there say that that's because somebody called 911.
Really?
Because they thought there was a real fight going on back there. They thought a riot had broken out. And because they beat those guys down.
Yeah.
And left them laying. And it was like Jimmy Hart comes out and he breaks all the storylines that had been going on between the Dungeon of Doom. And he's like, everybody. So now you see all these guys who are feuding with each other standing backstage as one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're comforting each other. And like, I think Nancy Sullivan was just crying like a baby. Yeah. It was great, man. That was a great.
Yeah.
Great moment in that angle and that program. And because I'm all about pouring heat.
You're all right.
On heels, man.
Right, right. You know? But it's like they did that. And that, I remember that was just like, I remember watching it and thinking, what in the world? You know, what in the world is going on? It was like so. It just been so long since something like that had really happened.
So they are off and running to a good start.
And there's heat on them.
Yeah.
And then the next week, what they do is the debut of that black and white commercial.
Yeah.
And that's not to draw heat. I mean, maybe it was intended to draw heat.
What do you think it was intended to do?
I don't know, but everybody dug it. Everybody's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Right. That was kind of what became the problem with the NWO was they were so cool, and it was cool to like them. And
they're doing all this new – so, like, one week they're acting like these just heels, monster heels. Like, they have defeated the whole locker room.
Yeah.
Like, they are so bad. And, again, this is what I go back to. It's called the NWO. But what's the other rest of the locker room doing? It's the coalition to end Hulkamania all over it again.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I mean, you're right. It's I never thought about it like that.
You think about it.
Yeah.
You had the Dungeon Doom and Horsemen with each other, then against each other, and now what? They're with each other again.
To stop Hulk Hogan.
You had guys like, and that's what we see. We're building toward what eventually is going to be Fall Brawl. We've got some things to get to before then.
Right.
But there's going to be some strange bedfellows when we get to Fall Brawl, if you've looked at the history. So July 29th, the black and white commercial debuts. Again, Lex Luger, Randy Savage, and Sting versus the Four Horsemen. Now, that's a double count out. I'm assuming something happens with the NWO there. I don't remember all the details. The main event, the Giant defends his world title against Greg Valentine. The most random match. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't random, but they're feeding guys to the Giant. And Greg Valentine was a name, but yeah, just making the Giant.
Somebody with a name that the Giant could beat.
And Greg Valentine,
especially in the Southeast, and really even from WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a name guy that, you know.
The next week, I got to get, let me check it, make sure my notes are correct.
Well, we'll wait, Heath.
No, sorry. So August 5th, it's the go-home show before Hog Wild. Opening match is Harlem Heat beating the Rock and Roll Express. Now, I asked you off the air, Rock and Roll Express comes back. I don't think they win a match all year in 96 on TV. And you had a theory.
They weren't supposed to be winning the matches.
Right.
Rock and Roll Express, you've seen Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
8 months ago. Would you say that they have progressed at all in the same gimmick they had since 1984?
No, I mean, it's the same thing.
Has anything changed?
No.
When you were, if you could switch roles for one day, would you rather be Ricky Morton or Kevin Nash?
Oh, Kevin Nash.
There you go. That's why when the Rock and Roll Express comes back, they're not the guys who are winning anymore.
But
no, say, disagree with me if you want.
No, I'm not. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying they. I don't know that they were. I mean, here they put over Harlem Heat.
Right. This is what happens in wrestling as you get older, and you're not a big money draw anymore.
Right.
And they were not a big money draw anymore.
Right.
Nobody was paying money to see Rock and Roll Express matches.
Right.
They weren't like, we got to go see Nitro because Rock and Roll Express are going to be there.
Right. Right.
Nobody's, I'm not saying that there ain't three or four people out there that are happy to see the Rock and Roll Express, but nobody's buying a Nitro ticket to watch the Rock and Roll Express.
Right.
So why wouldn't you put Harlem Heat over the Rock and Roll Express?
Right. I'm not questioning.
That's what they're there for, is to make Harlem Heat look good.
Yeah.
And clearly they knew that.
Yeah.
They were stuck even in 96 and something that hadn't been cool for 12 years.
Yeah, I give you that. I mean,
the only reason it's cool now is because it's a nostalgia thing.
Right, right. I mean, because now they are, I mean, that's who people will go to see at local places.
You'll draw 75 or 100 people.
100 people.
To see the Rock and Roll. I'm just calling it like it is.
That is what it is, yeah.
75 or 100 people will come out and see the Rock and Roll Express. You bring Hall and Nash down to Westminster Rec Center, I guarantee you more than 7,500 people show up.
But the thing with Hall and Nash, for a lot of people, is people are still thinking, man, I can't believe they came into WCW like that and just did what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still mad.
Yeah,
are still mad about them invading.
Well, some of these backwater, you know, hillbilly types that don't understand.
I'm sitting a little close to home, some of my kinfolk. All right, this is the go-home. This is the go-home show. Booty Man beats Ric Flair by DQ. Don't really care about that. The Giant, once again, has a stellar title defense against Sergeant Craig Pittman. Lex Luger and Sting defeat the Nasty Boys. And we know going into Hog Wild, Hogan's got a title shot against the Giant.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're building up to. So we get to Hog Wild, 1996. Two things are happening. I believe Hogan's got a title match.
That's right.
And Now, the Outsiders don't have their title match at this pay-per-view, do they?
Yeah, I thought they did.
No, because Harlem Heat's the champions. They're going to face the Luger and Snake. So, here's That's right. Let me run down Hogwild. You mentioned the great Ultimo Dragon.
Uh-huh. There's a spot during this match. Anyway, go ahead and tell everybody who he wrestled, because that's the important part.
Rey Mysterio and Ultimo Dragon, opening match.
There's a great moment in this match where did you watch pay-per-view?
I did not see this match.
Okay. Did you watch pay-per-view though?
I watched Hogan beat the Giant.
Okay. So you saw the ring and the way that it was, they had like built a little hill up.
Yes.
And the ring was sitting up on a platform. So you come out of the ring and then there's where people would normally be at. It drops off about 7 or 8 more feet.
Yeah.
And Ultimo Dragon's down on the ground and Rey Mysterio does a top rope dive all the way off the ring and down onto the off of the platform that they were on. It's impressive, man. It's really cool. I would recommend going back and watching that match.
Yeah, Ultimo Dragon, I think he had some – he was great.
Yes, he was.
And he had some kind of injury, some kind of nerve damage in his run in WCW, but
His gimmick, you know, was – it's not Ultimate Dragon. Yeah. It's Ultimo Dragon.
Right.
And it means the last dragon because his gimmick was that he was Bruce Lee's last student.
Ah. Hey, Carrie's Corner right there. I didn't know that. That's actually not correct because I was Bruce Lee's last student. Sadly, the second match, I know a lot of fans, you know, the team of Fire and Ice has broken up.
Oh, no.
And Scott Norton beats.
Not the great team of Fire and Ice.
Scott Norton beats Ice Train in this match. Then we got the Battle of the Bikes. Medusa and Bull Nakano.
Bull Nakano.
I did it. Dang it.
Bull Nakano or Sonny Ono actually rides out on like a rice burner.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, crotch rocket, you know, type motorcycle. In front of all these Harley riding bikes.
Right.
It's like nuclear heat.
Yeah.
And then they tease that that they're going to destroy the Harley with the sledgehammer. But she goes down, gets the sledgehammer, fights them off, and then destroys their rice burner. But she couldn't really destroy it. She kept hitting it, but it was so well made. <That's> the funny. Sledgehammer kept bouncing off of it.
That's funny.
And she finally got it to crack a little bit, so she just tore at it with her hands.
Oh, that's funny.
And then she just pushed it over. She couldn't get it. She couldn't. It was so well made.
Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko in a singles match that goes almost 30 minutes.
Great match.
Yeah.
It goes to a draw. Mm-hmm. And then it's, we need a few more minutes. You know,
classic.
Then it goes to another draw. 5 more minutes. And then it goes to another draw. It's that deal. And it's a great, as I mentioned, like the matches that I think people will enjoy if they go back and watch them, that would be one.
Yeah.
Really, though, the Ultimo Dragons, Rey Mysterio, and that one, well worth watching.
So, because I'm a nerd and all my friends are nerds, this is kind of stuff to think about. There's 8 matches on this card. Only two of them are 5 minutes, the Norton match and the Medusa match. Uh-huh. Every other
Some
match on
matches,
here
yeah.
goes over 10 minutes. Unheard of today.
Yeah.
Unheard of today.
It's not unheard of for matches to go over 10 minutes.
No, unheard of for 6 of 8 pay-per-view matches to go over 10 minutes.
No, if you only got 8 matches, I mean.
But
that's an hour. And
well, I know, but I think I'm going to do some research. Because I think you'll have like maybe 2 longer matches, like 3 matches under 10. Listen, I will do the research to prove that I'm right.
I'm sure that you will.
Harlem Heat.
But you still won't watch it one damn match.
I will watch it.
You go get on Wikipedia and prove me wrong. And next time we do, I'll be the one that watches all the pay-per-views.
Harlem Heat retained the titles against the Steiner Brothers. Ric Flair retains the U.S. title against Eddie Guerrero. And after spending a decade of not beating anybody with the figure four, Ric Flair is now beating everyone with the figure
four. Yeah, I never understood that.
And not like, just beating, they're not submitting, they're getting pinned. Yeah. Like
they're just passing out and they're getting counted.
The Outsiders beat Sting and Luger, where they get Nick Patrick involved in the finish, and that's just going to lead
that leads down to that's pretty bad.
And then the championship match, Hogan beats the Giant, and they spray paint the NWO. The Booty Man has come down and wants to join the NWO.
He's got a cake and the spray paint.
And they turn on him. And now,
because he talked about beating down Arn Anderson, and there was a whole like Ric Flair, this is your best friend.
Yeah.
Well, this guy right here was my best friend, and if I beat him up like this, what do you think I'm going to do to you guys?
Oh wow,
which is pretty cool. It's a good way to generate some. I thought in the whole NWO, Hogan was the only one that tried to be a heel. The rest of them tried to be cool. Hogan tried to be a heel.
Yeah. The next night on Nitro, August the 12th, first of all, I got to tell you about this stellar eight-man tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeon of Doom.
Did you watch it?
Hugh Morris, Kevin Sullivan, Ming. I did actually watch
it. I believe you.
I was like, I really went through and I tried to watch a little bit of every Nitro, but especially the go-home show and the show after.
Right.
That's when stuff normally happens.
Right.
What I did see, and I think it's, I can't remember if it's during this opening match, Ted DiBiase comes down, sits down at ringside, and then gets up and walks off, and they're like, oh, he's scared of something, he's nervous or something. But nobody really knows why he's there.
Right.
So it's Dungeon of Doom, and they're taking on High Voltage and Rough and Ready. A pairing that probably never happened again. Steiner Brothers. I don't like when they do rematches the day after.
Yeah, I don't either.
But they did a rematch for the tag titles and the Steiners.
And that became, today and before that, it was like, let's use our TV show to sell our pay-per-views. And at this point in WCW, you almost start to get a term where it's, let's use our pay-per-views to get people to watch our TV show.
Right.
And that's why that's just not a good way to do business.
No. You're absolutely right. Steiner's win
if
by
if you
DQ,
tune in, so, if you're paying, $35 at the time, maybe, paying $35 for something, this stuff needs to be getting resolved.
Right.
Not getting resolved for free the next night.
Yeah, I remember there was one week. Yeah, they started doing this a lot. Sometimes they'd have better matches on Nitro than on the pay-per-view.
Hogan and Goldberg.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later in the year. But they were just giving away great matches and charging you for crap.
Yeah. Speaking of great matches, a U.S. title match. So, in 8 months, Flair and Savage have gone from fighting over the world title. Now they're fighting over the U.S. title, but they're still fighting.
Right.
The thing. the main event is Luger and Sting versus the Outsiders. It goes to a no contest, but DiBiase is that fourth guy.
Yeah, that's now when he does the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. And then he says, he's like, next week, at one point he's like, he shows five.
Yeah.
And they kind of tease that. Not a lot happening on the August the 19th Nitro. I don't have in my notes here what the NWO did at this time. It wasn't like something new. They probably came out, cut a promo, kind of stuff.
Now we're kind of getting into all the same.
Yeah.
Same
so,
things happening every
week. And they come out and they're going to say the same thing every week.
And it started fizzling quick. Until.
Now, on the August 19th Nitro, American males get what they deserve. A shot at the tag team titles. They come up just short against Harlem Heat. And, nothing of note there. August 26th, we're getting, let's see. No, we still got a ways to go before Fall Brawl. August 26th. Mr. JL makes his debut against Rey Mysterio, and they have a great match for the Cruiserweight title.
Mr. JL, I don't think, made his debut because he wrestled Sabu back in 95.
Well, I'm sorry. I apologize. His first match in 96.
Oh, okay.
On our show for these purposes.
Okay. I got you. I got you.
He's far down on my spreadsheet.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's way down there at the bottom.
So where has he been? Injured? I mean, a great talent.
Yeah.
You talk about the great cruiserweights. I mean, there you go. There's one right there. Once again, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair beat the Rock and Roll Express. Steiner Brothers defeat the Blue Bloods. And the main event has been Juan McMichael versus Luger and Sting. It ends in a no contest because I'm sure NWO does something and disrupting in the back. Now, this September the 2nd Nitro is something because now, and see, now that I'm thinking about it, this is a big Nitro because they're wanting to add people to the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
It's reported in Death of WCW that they had another defection coming over from the WWF in the form of Davey Boy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around this time that he's going to make his debut.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the, you know, according to the report, basically on the last day of his contract, he decides to re-sign with WWF. Uh-huh. So now the NWO has teased a new member.
Yeah.
But the person they had planned for that spot, not going to be there. So they're kind of scrambling storyline-wise. The person they pick, is
the Giant.
The Giant. So hold on. I'm sitting. So this is also, so DiBiase again is coming down, sitting ringside. He kind of is not in the speaking role yet. But in the main event, if I'm not mistaken.
Which, if you got Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, do you really need Ted DiBiase to cut your promo?
No, I don't. But what I've read is the whole gimmick was that they're going against Ted Turner, and so they need their own millionaire, and he's financing everything.
Gotcha.
I'm just.
It wasn't long after this they brought in Virgil.
Right.
Why are you paying Virgil?
I don't know.
What you looking for over there? Why don't we just skip to what matters, which is the Giant joins the NWO.
Yeah, but when does that happen? That's what I'm looking for. I got my dates mixed up.
I don't know the actual date, but he does.
Okay.
And then,
so I think it's this night. I think it's on the September 2nd because the main event is Flair. It's the Four Horsemen against the Dungeon of Doom. And the NWO crashes the party, start jumping everybody. And here comes the Giant.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, oh, the Giant's going to protect the Dungeon of Doom.
Right.
And that's not what he does. And it's kind of like, but you got a bad guy jumping other bad guys.
Yeah.
But he's a bad guy still.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
That's the thing. So it made no sense.
Well, this is still when we're establishing, okay, it kind of, if you think about it in the way that they were presenting it, I guess it does make sense.
Yeah.
Because you still have these guys feuding with one another, and we're reaching a point where they're going to start taking over now, and they're doing, they're buying time to do WCW Saturday Night, and they are NWO Saturday Night.
Yeah.
They're going to do their own pay-per-view in 97.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where these guys don't like each other and they've been feuding, but we're going to have to put those feuds aside and everybody come together to combat these guys trying to take our company over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what was going on at the time. It's not like these guys, just because the NWO got together, said, all right, well, we'll all be friends now.
Right.
They still had their feuds going on.
Right. Yeah. But I guess my question, I mean, just a few weeks earlier, Hogan has beaten the Giant for the belt.
Yeah.
And now it's like the Giants like, okay, all's forgiven. I'll join
you.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it was a good idea to put the Giant in there. And it really didn't make any sense because he had no connection to WWE.
Yeah.
He was born and raised in WCW. He was made by why would he join these WWF guys? Because at the time, that's still the story. These are WWF guys coming here.
Yeah.
To take over.
Right. And so with this addition, it.
Yeah, it killed that gimmick.
It deviates really, I mean, from the script.
Yeah.
Now, on the September 9th Nitro, several things happen. You have the voice of Sting in the limo talking to Ted DiBiase.
Mm-hmm.
You're building to this fall brawl match where you've got Hall, Nash, Hogan, and don't know who their fourth guy is against Sting, Luger, Flair, and Anderson. That's how bad it is. Yeah. The Horsemen are going to come.
Because originally it was going to be Flair, Anderson, and Benoit and McMichael.
Right.
And then Luger and Sting come out, and they did a big promo where they took their place, and Benoit and McMichael didn't like it.
Yeah.
Why? Because they were removing them from the match.
They'll get their shot at War Games in right. a year or two. Oh,
that's
gosh.
Right. But that was how that kind of came about.
So also on this Nitro is DiBiase mentions, okay, if we win War Games, the NWO gets, we get to have a tournament, and puts all these stipulations. That basically is going to happen if the NWO wins. Yeah.
And this is the night that Sting kicked Luger and all that, right? Or was that the next week?
Well, this is the last week before Fall Brawl, so it must have been this
night. Okay, so this is the night. And I'm going to tell you, when the guy who gets out of that limousine, I believe it was Sting.
Right.
I think that was Sting.
Yeah.
That they used to do that.
Yeah.
To set up the fake Sting.
Yeah.
Can you ask me on the 95 show? Because, see, I always got it up here.
Yeah.
And I always got a plan. You said to me when Sergeant Craig Pittman and Cobra were having a match, you said, who is Cobra? And I said, he's some Army guy. His name was Jeff Farmer.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who played fake Sting. So Cobra was fake Sting. I couldn't tell you that then because we were doing the show.
Gotcha. This is the one that at the end of the episode, Teddy Long comes to get Randy Savage, who's having a stellar main event match against John Tenta. And they go out there and they find the NWO limo and they get the spray paint and they're trying to spray paint WCW. And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's raining. But it's also, the announcers are like, man, all these guys together, you got the Faces of Fear, you got the Horsemen. Again, they're showing that WCW is strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
The people that have joined together.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys don't know how to work a can of spray paint.
Right. And also, it was funny because I know I told you this, to listen to Bobby Heenan do commentary. Because for years, his gimmick has been to support the heels.
Right.
And it was so hard for him to not support these guys. And you could just hear it. He made a mistake at Hog Wild.
Yeah.
You know, when the
the outsiders.
Yeah, when the outsiders did something and he was like, Hall, get over there and tag him. And then Tony Schiavone said, what are you talking about? And he said, man, I'm sorry. I'm trying to it was just this funny moment.
He was going against what was
it wasn't natural to him. By the way, speaking of, I just got to go back to Hog Wild because I didn't mention it. I've said this before when we talked about Tony Schiavone, where he would always wear a little outfit. Hog Wild, he had a fake tattoo on his forearm. And he had a little cut-off denim jacket, and he had one of those leather biker caps on. You know the hat I'm talking about, right?
I do.
They look like the dress hats, but they're made out of leather. He had one of those on. He looked completely.
Shawn Michaels used to wear one of those to the ring.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels could at least pull it off.
Yeah, yeah.
On fat Tony Schiavone, it didn't look good.
Tony Schiavone not pulling it off. So we get to Fall Brawl. DDP beats Chavo Guerrero.
Don't overlook that. That's important.
Chavo's 1996 debut with WCW.
Okay, we have seen now DDP begin to feud with the Guerrero family
uh-huh.
over the Battle Bowl ring. and it will culminate in a match with Eddie.
Right. Because at some point he wrestles Hector.
Yes. And I believe, and we'll get to it because it's at Starrcade when he wrestles Eddie Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion is that the matches with Eddie Guerrero are what established or what made people take Diamond Dallas Page serious.
Yeah.
And that speaks a lot about how good Eddie Guerrero is.
Because at this point, would you say DDP is still not being taken seriously as a wrestler?
That's what I mean. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I meant when I said people started taking him seriously after this. Believe it or not, that was that was what I meant by that, Heath. Would you say that people were taking him seriously before that? No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think I just spent 3 minutes saying that.
Would you say that you would say that you said that?
I think that I am thinking what you think I think I'm thinking. But I kind of forgot where I was going now.
Did you know Hector Guerrero was Lasertron?
Yes, I did.
That gimmick would not get over today.
Wasn't he the gobbledygooker as well?
Yes, he was.
So he's been two of the worst.
All right, so what's worse? What's worse, gobbledygooker, Lasertron, or TNA Spanish announcer?
Oh, TNA Spanish announcer.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think gobbledygooker.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Guerrero name in Mexican wrestling is legendary. So that's fine, the announcer gimmick. Lasertron was just a throwaway gimmick.
Yeah.
Gobbledygooker was like, what's in the egg? It was one of the selling points of Survivor Series that year.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yes, just to clarify, Heath, I do think that DDP had not been taken very seriously up to that point because he wasn't a serious character.
He
feuded over a lottery check, and he feuded you know, he'd walk out with the cigar in his mouth, and then he went and he was down and out, and he was a bum on the street, and he got a benefactor. But when he started having these matches with the Guerreros, it showed that he won the Wrestling Observer Most Improved Wrestler of the Year that year for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason, I believe, is working with the Guerrero family.
You don't think the reason is that he didn't lose a match between?
Right. Clearly, but there's a push going on.
Yes. Yes.
And
But it's a deserved push.
What if he'd had mediocre matches with Mike Enos and won every one of them?
Right.
It wouldn't have been as good. But he didn't. He had good matches with the Guerrero family.
Yeah.
And Eddie made him look like a superstar in the ring.
Yeah. Eddie Guerrero
was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's part of one of my favorite matches of all time. So,
yeah.
When he and Love Machine Art Bar wrestled El Hijo de Santo.
Oh, yeah.
And Octagon in the 2 out of 3 falls hair versus mask match from the World Worlds Collide pay per view.
That was great.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite matches of all time.
Ice Train beats Scott Norton, so they're kind of trading wins back and forth.
Yeah.
Conan defeats Juventud Guerrero, but it's for the AAA heavyweight championship. They're starting to mix in, because I know the Ultimo Guerrero at some point defends one of the Japanese titles on a WCW.
Is Ultimo?
It's not on this show, but it's later on.
Ultimo Dragon?
Ultimo Dragon. What did I say?
Ultimo Guerrero. I was like, I didn't remember him.
You don't know.
Well, I thought maybe he did.
You don't remember Ultimo Guerrero?
I know who Ultimo Guerrero is.
I didn't know there was an Ultimo Guerrero.
Yeah, but yeah, there is an Ultimo Guerrero.
Listen, that's why you're the HBK AA. Then
I thought maybe he was appeared on here and I just missed it.
No. You watched every match, Mark. You said you watched.
I did watch every match. I don't have 24 pages of notes in front of me.
Listen. Of keeping us between the ditches. Listen, this next match, a young man debuting in WCW in 96, Chris Jericho against Chris Benoit.
Yeah. Good match. Great match.
I always liked Jericho.
Yeah, me too.
From the moment when he came to WCW, he had a different style, different personality, and just, underutilized.
He was one of those kind of mixed the American style with the Lucha style with the Japanese style.
Yeah.
One of those first kind of innovate. Him and Lance Storm both brought that style.
The Thrill Seekers.
The Thrill Seekers, that's right.
Rey Mysterio beats Super Callow and retains the cruiserweight title.
I never got Super Callow. What does Super Callow mean? Do you know?
Callow.
Because he had the mask that included the like the little hat and the sunglasses, and that was his mask. I, was, I didn't know what Callow, if you knew what Callow meant. I don't care enough to Google anything.
No. Harlem Heat.
Like some...
Hey, Harlem Heat retains the tag team titles over the Nasty Boys. The Giant beats Randy Savage. And then in the War Games, Team NWO against Team WCW. Now, different rules for this War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, both teams are at ringside during the match. Right. But things have gotten so tense and crazy, both teams are going to remain in the back so they can, you know, be within 20 feet of each other.
And now, see, I would tend to think that they did this to draw out the Sting suspense.
Yes.
Clearly, that's what
Right. So I watched the Nitro the night after this. So I'm trying to get the – so Arn Anderson starts out. It's Arn, all right, so Arn and Hall start out. As always, the heels get the advantage. So it's Nash and Hall versus Arn. Second out for the faces, I think, is Luger.
It's not really.
It doesn't matter. Because then you get to the fourth guy for each team, and
Fake Sting
comes out and looks just like. Like, if you're just watching TV.
They did a good job, like, when I watched it, of obscuring his face, the camera shots.
Yeah.
Did a great job of obscuring his face until the real Sting came out. Now, here is my problem with the booking of this match.
All right.
What happens is, did you watch it? I'm not being a smart aleck.
I have watched this match.
Whenever he, Sting comes out, the real Sting.
Yeah.
And he makes his way through and he's knocking everybody down, knocking everybody out, blah, blah, blah. Then he leaves. He looks at Luger and said, is that good enough for you?
And he flips him off.
And he flips him off and he leaves.
Yeah.
And then they put Luger, the fake Sting, puts Luger in the
Scorpion
and somebody puts him in a front
face. Hulk Hogan puts him in front face.
And he passes out. Okay. I'm all about pouring heat on the heels.
Yeah.
But it has the baby faces have to win at some point.
Right.
And that was the night that they needed to win.
Yeah.
To me, this was where I start seeing these guys' egos are not in check. Because to me, if I'm booking that, I have Sting come in, take everybody out, put the fake Sting in the Scorpion, him quit. And then he looks at everybody and says, is that good enough for you? And turns his back on WCW.
And you've still got.
And he won. Nobody who was important got beat.
Right.
The baby faces won and got some payback for everything that's happened over the summer. But the baby faces never got payback.
And that's the thing. When Flair, I think it was on WWE Legends Roundtable, and he said, you know, the difference between NWO and the Horsemen, we put people over. It's like we made people look good.
That's what he said. He said they could. Every house show they went to, they went out and he called them, not me calling them. He said, we were enhancement talent. We went out, put them over, because I knew once I got back on TV, I could get my heat back.
Right, right.
And that's all that would have had. Hogan could have come out the next night, cut a promo.
Fired fake Sting.
Everybody beat fake Sting up. Where's that going?
Yeah.
Honestly, what was the point?
Yeah.
Now, it worked out good for him.
Yeah.
Because he got a good gig, and he went to Japan.
Yeah.
And he did the NWO fake Sting and made a lot of money. He was really successful doing the fake Sting gimmick in Japan. And some people have said, I don't know, I'm just telling you what some analysts say, that he was more over in Japan than the real Sting.
Really?
So, I don't know that. I don't recall, other than some tapes that I got from that era, that had him like teaming up with Muda and Chono. I don't recall much of his Japanese career.
Yeah.
He did make a lot of money in Japan.
And that's what it's, you know, you're trying to make a career.
So it worked out good for him, but did it work out best for the company?
Right. Because now, again, NWO is just building.
Right.
So the next night, opening segment, they do something to me that's inexplicable. The opening segment is Juventud and Rey Mysterio wrestle, and then during the match, they're talking about, hey, in the coming weeks, we're going to get all the demands, what everything the NWO wants.
Right.
But they show fans outside the arena with NWO signs.
Correct.
And my thing is, are they heels or are they cool?
Right. And I don't even think they knew. I think they wanted to be cool.
Yeah.
And that's why Bischoff joined them.
Yeah. Because
he wanted to be cool.
And I just feel like...
That's what I think.
Right, and I definitely don't disagree with you, but I feel like so that leads to not only do the NWO fans have stuff, but they're selling NWO merchandise, and this is kind of like opening the Pandora's box of you got two companies within one
but there was a theory that they had, the reason you saw them selling the merchandise out in the parking lot,
right,
was they originally wanted to sell it in the arenas.
Yeah.
And Hall and Nash said, no, don't sell it in the arenas because we don't work for you guys. So sell it in the park. We'll go sell it out in the parking lot like we paid our own guys.
Yeah.
To sell our merchandise right out there. That was the thought behind that, was put it
in
the
parking lot. And that's pretty smart. Yeah.
It is smart. Yeah. Hall and Nash, I think... Yeah. This is just my opinion.
Right.
If they had let Hall and Nash handle the running of that gimmick, then I think they would have known when the right time to put people over was. Scott Hall lost all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there was an issue with him with putting people over.
Right, right.
It was Hogan that wasn't putting people over. So I think if they had maintained the creative control of that, like all you talk about those black and white promos that they cut. They're the ones that when they first got there to do those promos, Hulk Hogan was doing Hulk Hogan promos. What you going to do, brother, when this and that and other? And they had to get, they say it took a few hours for them to get that out of his system, to say that is not the promos. You're not cutting those promos anymore.
Yeah.
Your promos cannot be what you going to do, brother.
Yeah.
Training a prayer. You can't do that anymore.
You got to be different.
You've got to be different or it's not going to work. And
had
they maintained the creative control of that gimmick, they would have known when to win and when to lose. Because that's a good idea, selling your merch out in the parking lot.
Right.
So it looks like you don't work for the company. And the commercials that aired, so you can call and buy it. They paid for that time, and it was a different phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just...
I like how they worked that. You know what's not a good idea?
What's that?
There was a character.
I love it when you tell me something's not a good idea.
There was a character that had been built up for weeks and months. A new person is going to debut.
Mm-hmm. And then it got delayed because of the NWO.
Right.
Yeah.
My question is... He debuts
on
this night.
Well, tell everybody who it is.
It's Glacier.
Right. And there had been the Blood Runs Cold.
Yeah.
And they had run and run and run and run and run, and they just stopped.
Yeah.
And then the NWO thing happened, and then they started it back up. And do you know they spent, like, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in that, so they say.
Yeah.
Between the snow.
Yeah.
And the laser lights, and that they had, like, a... Whoever made that outfit was like a old school samurai outfit maker kind of. They spent a lot of money on that gimmick. And boy, it went nowhere.
They don't know what they're trying to be as a company to me. Are you trying to be, hey, we're all going to use our real names. Oh, Glacier.
Right. Well, I understand where they were going with Glacier.
Okay.
I know what they were trying to do, but you're right. The Undertaker is a dead guy.
Right.
In the midst of the Bret Harts and the Shawn Michaels and stuff. So I don't have a problem with a character. And the idea was, we both know we grew up in an era when video games were really popular.
Yeah, and he was...
And he was a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah.
Come to life. It's just that he wasn't that good.
No, his...
Now, Chris Kanyon was incredible.
Yes.
Who they brought in as Mortis. And that was the idea, was to have this video game type deal because they thought video games were popular.
And Canyon is in the company at this time. He doesn't maybe makes one appearance on Nitro throughout the year, but a lot of main event. Not main events, the show
main event. Right, Saturday night. But was he doing, was he Chris Canyon or was he
was Morta? Chris Canyon.
Okay. Then. He was great. That guy, had when you talent. Talk about like underrated talent, he was very, very underrated.
I agree.
He was such an innovative.
Yeah. Every time I saw him wrestle, he did a new move.
Well, that was intentional.
Right.
I mean, he's.
But again, Glacier just bombs to me in this first match. He's wrestling Big Bubba, but he goes.
You don't think anybody would argue that.
But listen, what's weird is like as he's doing all his stuff, Eric Bischoff's like, oh, as he goes through his, and he's using the kata.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Well, Eric Bischoff was like obsessed with karate. And we'll see that later as he starts handing out money. A few years later, and his son Garrett is taking karate lessons from a guy, and he gives him a contract to come in and,
oh my,
and be a wrestler.
So it's announced that the NWO has earned their own show from winning War Games, but then somebody else debuts, somebody the fans recognize, again, from WWF. So they've got Hall and Nash from WWF, Hogan, who had been in WWF, the Giant, and then they bring in who they're going to call Six because he is the sixth member. And so there,
who is
there
was X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac.
1, 2, 3, kid.
So there's something going on with this because WCW had a tour, I want to say in Japan, and so a lot of the top stars were going to be on that tour, and so it's this – it's this September 23rd Nitro that the NWO are in control of because everybody else is on tour.
Everybody else is on tour, and these guys don't. Their contracts are better than everybody else's. They don't have to go.
So September 23rd, some things happen I want to discuss. Public Enemy wins the tag team titles from Harlem Heat. So I wrote a note on Public Enemy, who were always over, could always put in a good street fight or whatever. They get a
unless it was a real street fight with the APA.
Oh Lord! So this was only their third match in 19 weeks, and they win the titles. And I'm sure it was to pop a rating because they know their big stars are in Japan, so they pop a rating. It's a 2 week. It's not a very long title reign. You get the Greg Valentine and Randy Savage. Six makes his debut beating Jim Duggan. NWO Sting wrestles that night, gets a win, and in the main event, a stellar match between the Outsiders and High Voltage. But again, the focus of that match is all the NWO.
Right.
And that was a good book. It's like, okay, half our talent's going to be.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And they did originally, my understanding is, intend for it to be two different brands. That was the end game.
Like when they, like Thunder.
Like Raw and SmackDown. They wanted it to be two different brands.
And how, we'll get to this when we talk 97, when it's NWO sold out. That they have their own pay-per-view with their own referees. How are they going to lose?
I very quickly, like this lost a lot of steam real quick. It could have been great, but it burned out. And then by the next Starcade that we'll get to in 97, I was done with this company.
Right. Let's fast forward to I'm just going to skim over these Nitros because I want to get to Halloween Havoc, and then that'll be a good stopping point for this episode. Is that all right? Because there's a debut at Halloween Havoc, and then we can finish out with –
Yeah, whatever you want to do, man.
So September 30th. Arn Anderson and Chris Jericho, that's a good match. Faces of Fear beat the Rock and Roll Express again. Again, there's just, at this point in time, I'm looking, not a lot of stellar matches on this card, but the NWO, it's all about, you're watching it to see what the NWO is going to do. It's like you don't even care who's wrestling.
That, here's what I had a thought, because you, and I'll go back to it, because you did say it.
Yeah.
You talked about the undercard not being very good.
Yeah.
And when I first started watching these pay-per-views, I was like, man, this is an incredible undercard.
Yeah.
And it was. And it is.
Yeah.
But after you've seen, trust me, you watch 12 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And after you've seen Dean Malenko and the Ultimo Dragon a couple of times.
Yeah.
And after you've seen Chris Jericho and whoever, Dean Malenko a couple of times, it's like, when I would see him come up on the thing, I was like, God, you know, I just watched this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're not doing different matches.
Right.
They're kind of doing the same thing. So it very quickly, there was a burnout on Nitro for me. Because, and it's like WWE now to me. It's the same matches every single week. And I get there's a burnout that's taking place.
I don't know if this is to WCW's credit. They had a big enough roster where they could just bring guys in for a night. And so it would be a squash match. It means a match, you know who's going to win. But it's against an estate, like Rock and Roll Express. You know right. They're going to lose, but it's still the Rock and Roll Express.
Right.
Does that make sense? They're not jobbers.
Right. And then you're entering that era where you don't have a lot of the jobbers.
Right.
You know.
So the October 7th Monday Nitro, here's something I don't understand. In the midst of the NWO, and they're bringing in guys from WWF, another WWF guy debuts in the ring. Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, he sucks. Why do we have to talk about Jeff?
But I'm saying, why didn't even they? He's in the NWO later. I'm just saying that he would have been, if you're going following the logic.
Right, you put the giant in, but not Jeff Jarrett.
Again,
nobody wants to work with Jeff Jarrett. There's nothing about Jeff Jarrett this cool.
Especially that outfit he was wearing in this era.
He is not cool at all. He did not, to me, would not have fit in.
With the NWO.
Because he's goofy. No. He didn't even fit in with the Horseman.
No.
He's just a goofy.
When
he'd talk and then he'd go, ha ha. Just everything about him. He is not cool. He's not hip. He ain't funky.
No.
And none of the women want to smell his cologne. Except for Kurt Angle's wife.
Oh, dear. So that's all. There's an NWO attack, you know, we were watching Nitro to see what the NWO was going to do.
It's getting repetitious.
It is getting repetitious because they're beating everybody up every single week. Again, October 14th, the same thing. Malenko beats Armstrong. Lex Luger and Valentine. Eddie Guerrero defeats the Cheetah Kid. That's the kind of people they would throw in every now and then.
Right.
The Cheetah Kid, El Technico, something that was a couple weeks before. Jeff Jarrett beats Bubba Rogers. Nothing. It's like none of these matches. I don't care about any of these matches. Even the next week.
This is when I started losing interest in the company.
Yeah.
But there is the one good thing that's going on. And that's that occasionally Sting will walk across the rafters.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll show up with a baseball bat. And he'll offer Lex Luger a chance to hit him across the back of the head with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he'll offer Randy Savage, whoever it is.
The first couple of times Sting appears, his paint scheme was different. And he looked like a mime.
He used the old Sting, the Ultimate Warrior Sting paint, where they didn't paint their whole face. It would kind of go over the nose and then make the points on his cheek. And then he just put the white or the black stripes over his eyes and around his mouth instead of the full-on crow like he went to with the, you know.
Yeah. The
crow sting looks like.
The October 21st Nitro, you can skip it. I mean, again, if you want to skip all these Nitros.
That was the last one. It is now the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
That's what's happened at this point.
Yeah. And
we're doing the same thing over and over and over again on Nitro.
Yeah.
Just like they're doing on Raw for the past year.
And that's what I meant. Like that two-month era right there. When I say, well, the undercard's terrible. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
That now we get to Halloween Havoc. And so let's run through this card. Malenko and Mysterio. We've seen them wrestle several times. They always put on a good match. But again, something we've seen.
Yeah, but that was a good match.
DDP beats Eddie Guerrero.
I would recommend watching that match. If you want to see, go back and watch like DDP against Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah.
Some of those matches. And then compare it to his matches with Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And you can see how much he really did improve.
Yeah.
And how he was starting to get his timing down.
Yeah.
He'd lost a little bit of weight.
And DDP was a hard worker. I mean, he...
Yeah, yeah, nobody's ever accused him of not giving 110.
I always liked him.
His match, to me, like one of Goldberg's only good matches was against him.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to watch it for free because the pay-per-view went out.
That's another
thing. Because I guess they couldn't afford a watch to know.
Yeah, that's overbloated.
Giant beats Jeff Jarrett by DQ when Flair interferes. Six beats Chris Jericho. That was a good match. Mm-hmm. Luger defeats Arn Anderson. Why are they still wrestling? I don't really know. Mongo and Benoit beat the Faces of Fear. I don't know why they're wrestling. Outsiders. This is a big one. They win the tag team belts from Harlem Heat. So now they've got the world title. They've got the tag team titles.
Yeah.
And in this match... The championship match, Hogan beats Randy Savage. So let me, you got to go watch this match.
Yes.
Tell them the reason.
Yeah, oh, because Hogan comes out with the sunglasses and the hairpiece.
Yeah.
And it is the most ridiculous looking thing. It's, I mean, who thought we got, and I know he was doing it to generate heel heat. I mean, but it's just, ridiculous.
I was watching this last night. And I took a screenshot when there's a point where Macho takes the wig off. And I screenshotted Hogan's face.
Yeah.
And it sums up this whole year.
Yeah.
It sums it
sums up the whole year.
Sums up the whole year. The Giant interferes. Hogan wins the match. But Hogan's unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So DiBiase's in. He's trying to wake Hogan up. The Giant goes to get a bucket of ice.
But
it's not like a bucket of ice.
It's a punch bowl full of ice.
It's a punch bowl full of ice. Like you said, he's getting in the ring, spills some of it, gets over, and he looks at DiBiase. DiBiase's like, got to wake him up. So he pours it all over Hogan. Hogan wakes up. They beat Savage out. And then DiBiase just kind of disappears, and it's the Giant and Hogan in the ring, and Hogan starts cutting a promo. And he's just, you know, going on and on and on. And then the music hits, the bagpipes.
Right.
And if you're watching that, you knew immediately who it was.
Oh, yeah.
But yet couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Who it was. And so looking back, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about Roddy Piper coming back to WCW.
Okay.
Because they bring back another old guy, but yet it got good ratings. Like there was if you look at some of the statistics, Nitro was pulling in nostalgia fans.
Uh-huh.
Their demographic was skewing a lot older than Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Because Monday Night Raw says, hey, we're gonna go in a different direction. Maybe not quite at this point.
No, by this point.
So I'm like, so I don't know about Piper. He comes out, and so there's this point where Hogan is facing away from the entrance, and everybody starts cheering when Piper comes out. And Hogan's like, me? You're cheering? Oh, yeah. And then again, that screenshot when he sees that it's Piper and he gets behind the Giant and is acting all scared. And then Piper comes in and cuts this really, you know.
And he calls him Baldy.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the first time anybody like, ever referenced the
he
fact
said,
that.
He says, I'm the reason you lost all your hair.
Yeah, there you go.
He says, and that was
very much a rule in wrestling at the time. There were two things you didn't do. You didn't call Hulk Hogan bald, and you didn't call Dusty Rhodes fat. Both of those were off limits. Did you realize those were off limits? You couldn't talk about.
Can we have a couple of things that we have off limits on our show?
What you want to be off limits? Tell me. Tell me. Oh, go ahead. Get it out. Say it.
I want you to. Rick Martel was a world champion.
Okay.
James Storm was a multiple time tag team champion.
Okay.
World champion. There you go.
That's what. What are we?
Listen.
Was that a statement or a question? Or
I'm just stating the facts.
James Storm was a multiple time tag team champion on a show nobody watches, on a channel nobody has.
That was on a different channel.
And Rick Martel was the world champion on a promotion in its final days.
No. They lasted a couple of years after he was there.
Okay.
The man beat Jumbo Sheruda.
How do you say it again?
You know what I said. You heard me. You heard me. But Piper cuts his scathing promo against Hogan and says, I'm the guy you never beat.
Right.
And you know that I'm a bigger icon than you. And you know that if the people didn't hate me so much, they would have never loved you so much.
Probably a lot of truth in what he said.
Correct. Now, fast forward a few years. Because at that time, we're starting to get into the realism era. You know?
Like we've talked about before, at this point, everything else is fake, but this is real.
Right. And so what Piper's saying, you're thinking, man, I can't believe he's saying that to Hulk Hogan.
I never thought that. Oh, my goodness.
I just thought, man, he's kind of...
You and I have this conversation all the time. You still don't understand working.
No, I'm just saying at the time, I understand now and see what...
I don't think you do.
No.
I really don't. I don't
you
think,
say that.
I don't you say that you understand.
But like what... So several years later, when Hogan and Piper are going into the Hall of Fame, and that's when we were talking about this earlier, all the Hall of Famers sat on the stage, and Hogan is doing, you know, is giving his speech, and he's just talking about how him and Piper just did all this stuff together, and Piper's laughing, and like it hits me that, again, you go back to working. I was a mark.
How old were you?
How
old were you when it hit you? Wait a minute.
What now?
Maybe Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper don't hate each other. Tell me, what year did they go into the Hall of Fame?
It was pre his TNA day.
It was 2000.
But I mean, I knew they didn't hate each other, but didn't know they were boys. You know what I mean? It's one thing. I mean, it was kind of like when Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Duggan got busted for marijuana
But do you know that that Hacksaw Jim Duggan didn't really like the Iron Sheik? And
really?
That was a one-time thing?
Really?
Yeah, they didn't ride together all the time.
Really? They never rode together?
It was just Sheik needed a ride, and Duggan gave him one. Duggan had a couple. What happened was Duggan had a couple of joints on him.
Yeah.
But Sheik had cocaine. And it changed things. And if Sheik had done the right thing, he would have claimed ownership of the weed.
Yeah.
Because he's already busted for the coke.
Yeah.
The weed's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was what happened there.
I want to see because the NWO is so boring, I want to talk about the Iron Sheik documentary.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Is it out yet?
It's on Amazon and it's on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
But I'm kind of holding out hope that usually those movies will show up on Netflix after 6 or 8 months. So it's been out a few months. I'm going to give it a few more.
I heard an interview with him. I guess it was with Jim Ross. And just a good interview.
Could you kind of understand him? Because I haven't listened to that yet.
You can't really understand him.
I didn't think so. But he's the Iron Sheik. So.
But he starts off, he's like, hey... he calls him by his real name. You know, how you doing? He's like, not too good. Yeah, some of they are good, some of they are bad. And number one, Russia, number... Oh, man, he was so great, man. He was so great.
Check it out. I really want to see that movie, though.
And if you know anything about the Iron Sheik, you're probably not going to watch that movie with young children around.
Probably not.
And you're not going to let your kids read his Twitter, but he's...
no, but he is hilarious.
He is hilarious. He tweets... It's basically the same. Every tweet's the same. Yeah. It's the same word. Yeah. He just finds all these different ways to, as Kevin Nash would say, use the adjective to say what he's trying to say.
That's a stellar commentary there.
It's like on Major League where he's like, Chet, you got anything to add? Nope. Well, he's not the best color commentary in the league for nothing. So here's the thing. We have been building out this whole year. We built up, you give me the NWO, whose centerpiece was Hall and Nash. And now, Roddy Piper's not there to feud with the NWO.
No, he makes it very clear. I am not a member of the NWO, and I'm not here to defend the honor of WCW. I just don't like what Hulk Hogan's saying.
Yeah, and I don't, again, Hulk Hogan is this black hole that has this gravitational pull that now everything
sucks all the life out of a wrestler.
It does. I'm serious. Like, that was pain. Just going through these last couple months a night, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It was compelling.
It was compelling up to the NWO.
It was still compelling until Hogan started showing up every week.
Right.
Once he turned, that was cool. And then there's a couple of weeks where he's not there, and it was cool.
And how many times do you want to hear, and I don't know if he's doing it by then, he's like, how many times can you hear Scott Hall say, survey time? Well, right. People are popping because he's doing that in a different town every week. So that live crowd hadn't got that. So if I had gone to a live show where he did, I'd have popped for it. Uh-huh. But if you're watching it on TV every week,
I think you're wrong.
You don't think that? It got a little old for me.
Never got old. Well, let me ask you a
question. I'm not saying it never.
Don't change your opinion.
Right.
If that's what you think, say that's what you think.
For me, Heath Mulligan, the hero Heath Holyfield, the true original Drake Adams, it got old for me.
Okay. Never got old for me.
Okay.
Just like when I went to Greenville and saw the New Age Outlaws, and they come out and did Ladies and Gentlemen, Boys and Girls, Children of All Ages. Did that get old to you?
But when it did, when they were doing it 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But when they've just recently come out, I haven't seen that every week. I'm just saying, when it got to the point where Scott Hall came out and you knew I could write it down what he's going to say.
Yeah, but it's not like he was delivering this 15-minute long rambling promo.
That's the same thing every week.
It was a minute. It was a minute, the first minute of
Oh, la, la. Now, that got good. That got old.
See, that didn't get old to me either.
La Riva La Rosa.
Catchphrases are a part of a wrestler's persona.
Well.
Like, when Steve Austin would cut a promo, and then he would go, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. It's not like I ever said, I wish he'd say something different at the end of his promos. Because that's getting old.
But I never considered what Scott Hall was doing as a catchphrase.
No, it was crowd interaction. And people in the crowd love to interact.
Hey, that's why I'm sitting here with you.
That's why
I'm not on the jet with Vince McMahon.
They chant, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, because it makes them feel like part of the show.
Right.
Scott Hall maybe was the only guy on the card.
That
made the crowd feel like they were part of the show.
But for me, all I'm saying, for me personally, I'm not saying it wasn't over. I'm not saying it didn't get the crowd into it. I'm just saying for me, and maybe I'm just showing that I'm not a big Scott Hall fan. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You tend to not like the cool big guys.
Because I'm not cool, nor am I big. Well, I'm a lot bigger. I'm a lot less cooler than I used to be, but I'm a whole lot bigger than I used to be. Listen, I'm the new Big Daddy Cool.
I hear you, boy.
In every way imaginable.
Little fella uncool. You ain't no little fella.
Listen, if you HBKAA, I am not little fella uncool. Let me just tell you right now.
little daddy uncool. HBKAA. Little daddy uncool.
Little papa uncool. This is where we're gonna end this.
How long are we here?
We're about an hour and 20 minutes in.
So we got two more pay per views. I mean,
yeah, but we're getting on that time with our.
Oh, I got you.
So
I got you.
So this is it. You know, WCW 1996 Part 3. It's gone for me. It's gone off the rails at this point.
Yeah, I've lost interest.
Yeah, yeah,
I really did. I was kind of into it for a while.
Right.
As I was started, once the NWO thing kicked in and I started even rewatching, I was like, oh, I remember this. This was cool. And it just quickly, other than the Sting stuff, it lost me.
And they're getting ready to, in October or in the next coming weeks before World War III, they're getting ready to, they're going to have a new member. And then he's going to make an ultimatum, but you're going to have to listen to part four of this series. You need to go back and listen to parts one and two of WCW 1996. Even go back. Hey, we did a 2-hour show, WCW 95. We're just trying to do the autopsy of WCW. Here they have one of the coolest angles in the history of wrestling. And within a few months, boom, the momentum is, for the most part, gone. And they have brought in somebody that doesn't have anything to do. But we're not, this is not, Piper Hogan's not an NWO storyline.
No.
Ridiculous.
No, this is just a personal issue that's not even for the title.
That would have been good. That would have been a better Starrcade 95 instead of, or excuse me, Starrcade 94, Hogan and the Butcher.
Yeah.
Give me Piper then, before the hip replacement.
Right.
So anyway, we want to hear what you have to say. Listen, are Mark and I totally wrong about these months of Nitro? No, we're not wrong. They were terrible. But you may want to go and watch them just to see the NWO jump some people. Come tell us about it on our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. You can talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. Mark's
at the DDK Show.
Let us know what you think about wrestling. Tell us what your favorite snot bubble match is. Go on and download us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Make sure you leave us a rating and review. Go and like our Facebook page. All of that you can get from DoubleDropKick.com. There's great banners there. And the one thing that you need to do to a banner is
click on that thing.
Click on that banner and then order something and help support the show. That's all we're asking. Support the show. Hey, it's survey time. How many of you came to see Heath Mulliken? And how many of you came to see
Crickets.
Mark Hansen. One more for the big guy. Anyway, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.